to eventually get around to talking about some of what we've been experiencing really over the last 6 or 7 months. If you're a visitor, you're going to find this maybe difficult to grasp, but we've been working and engaging with some of the angels and the presence of God in our worship times and in other times. So this is an explanation of what these flags are and how they represent different things in what God's doing. Get this working now. Okay, all right. So, So over the last few months, we've been singing a lot about the presence of God and the Tetragrammaton, which is the letters of God's name, representing God himself and his four faces, and that's Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And we often sing that during worship as we engage the presence of God around the ark in heaven. And we found that as we've been doing that, that's opened up a sort of portal for heaven and earth to overlap. And we've really been looking at how that engages the four faces of God and four angels, particularly, that God has released here to function with us, plus the seven spirits of God, who are there to train and tutor us, and we'll talk more about that another time. But in a sense, this is a representation of the sort of the heavenly tabernacle, which is linked with the order of Melchizedek of the Joshua generation. And God is calling us into that role in the Joshua generation, and therefore the order of Melchizedek is a heavenly order, not an earthly one. Hebrews 6:19-20. One which enters within the veil, which is Jesus. Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. So if someone is a forerunner, then there are those that come behind him. So Jesus has entered within the veil into heaven, and we can come behind him because he is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, which is not an earthly order. It's a heavenly order of kingly and priestly function. So it's a royal priesthood, which it says in Peter that we are. Now, a lot of this is not theoretical, as has been generally portrayed, because most of this would have been, well, Jesus is a forerunner, we get to go there when we die. But in reality, it's not when we die we get to go there. We can get to go there now because heaven's open to us. And we can experience heaven and heaven on earth, and that's why I've called this engaging heaven on earth, because there's an overlap between the two. And the order of Melchizedek is a really important order to understand, because that is what we're called to function in. So it is the pattern of the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man, the royal heavenly priesthood. And kings and priests form a heavenly ark or agreement for blueprints to be revealed, God's plans and purposes to be revealed in heaven, so that when the apostolic and the prophetic form an ark, we get a shadow on earth that God can fill. And he wants to manifest heaven on earth in his people, and so his people bring the government of God. So a heavenly word of God and the heavenly government of God become worked out as embassies of heaven on earth, which is what we're supposed to be. So we see that they're aligned in a north, south, east, west face. So in heaven, you have the bench of three, Father, Son, and Spirit. That's heavenly government. And that releases when the priestly and kingly function releases blueprints. Now, that is in a form of a mountain. And that is what that represents. Now, on earth, that forms a shadow of that, if you like. When light shines from heaven on that blueprint, on earth, there's a shadow. That's how a shadow forms. And on earth, you have the reflection of that, which is benches of three on earth, reflecting the heavenly pattern of government. That's in us as an individual, soul, spirit, body, but also within churches, ecclesias, cities, regions, nations. They have blueprints and they have government that God is establishing. So, in a sense, there is a veil between heaven and earth, and that veil is now torn and open, so we can engage to look in, to behold that which we become transformed into. So earth can reflect heaven and earth can overlap, And it's like what happened in the beginning with Adam and Eve. The gardens of Eden and the garden in east of Eden that God planted for Adam and Eve were overlapped, and Adam could walk in both gardens, and God walked in both gardens, and God desires that again. Now, that is reflected within the garden of God in our own heart, where God's presence can come, but it's also reflected in what he wants here. So there is an earthly tabernacle which was patterned after the heavenly tabernacle, and the whole of heaven is in fact patterned after that in the different dimensions of heaven, and also our own soul, spirit, body is also patterned after that. So there are blueprints and scrolls which those for our individual lives, and also those which are for our gathering together around heavenly blueprints, which are ecclesia. And ecclesia are gathers of people who are gathered together according to a blueprint that's been given by God, a vision. There are a series of patterns that are represented by the flags here, where the agreement takes place. It talks about when heaven and earth comes into agreement, or where two are come into agreement, it allows something to form and government to form. And God wants government of heaven to bring our lives into agreement with that. Now, in what we're going to see here, we'll find that God can deal with our earthly past to reconnect us to our eternal past and reveal and draw us to our future destiny. And so past, present, and future, God being who was, is, and is to come, come together, and we can engage all three. And so we've been hearing a sound that's been coming out of heaven, and that sound's been issued all over the world, and people are being drawn to the sound, the symbol, the frequency, the shape that God has been releasing out of heaven, which is a pyramid or a diamond shape where these functions form. And this is where we form these arcs of connection so that we can see heaven reflected on earth in us and what we do in our own lives, but also in what God is establishing. Now, numerology in the Bible is really important. You see lots of patterns of numbers, and then those patterns begin to form shapes and geometric shapes. And I'm not going to go into that greatly today, but we will look at it maybe perhaps next week. So in this is where the power of agreement comes. And we can see that there are frequencies of light and color, vibrational movement, which open portals, which is why Jo, when she uses the flags and others use the flags and the different colors, there are different movements that goes with the different colors that have a frequency that opens things and that we can then engage beyond the veil through what we can see, and where heaven and earth is superimposed and overlapping. So two is where an arc of agreement forms. When those two come into agreement, it opens a portal for experience and manifestation. Three equals government and the manifestation of the kingdom being at hand when we come together in agreement with God. Four opens a window or a doorway. So 1 + 1 in Hebrew does not equal 2, it equals 3. Because one and one equal agreement for the third to form government. And 3 + 1 = 4. So when there is government, which is the king, priest, and the apostle in heaven, he's looking for earthly agreement of the man, which is why God has brought 4, not 3. So, interestingly, 3 × 3, which is the number of God in fullness, is a complete number. So that means 2 9s are 18, and 1 + 8 = 9. 3 9s = 27, 2 + 7 = 9. And you can go through all the times table, if you can remember it, from school. And they all equal 9, because there's a completeness that they're found when Father, Son, and Spirit come together to form government. But actually, those 9 were reflected in the 9 stones that covered Lucifer's body when he was standing as the covering cherub in the garden of God in before the fall and before he went into sin. But there are 12 stones you'll see on the high priest's breastplate, and you'll see there are 12 foundations to the New Jerusalem. So there's lots of things that show that actually God is, in his grace, included us in his government. He has decreed that man would come into government and that when we come into government, that will be the fullness of harmony between heaven and earth and the fullness of government that God wants to establish. So, you know, what is a reflection of on earth of the mountain? Well, if you think of it in that terms in heaven, in terms of government, on earth it's that. And when those things come together, they form that pattern, which is the four faces of God coming together, which is why we have the four faces of God on the different flags represented in that pattern. Now, if you have those as like heavenly mountains and earthly mountains as two triangles, when they come together, they form another pattern, which is a really interesting one. We call it the Star of David, but it's a in three dimensions and four dimensions, it's a something else. Nigel knows what it's called. But it's a star tetrahedron. Now, in what we see here, these things are patterned around the tabernacle in heaven, and that's the Holy of Holies and where the Ark of God's presence is. And you see that it's aligned north, south, east, and west. So north, man, priest, the He of God, east, lion, king, Yod, south, ox, prophet, He, and east, eagle, apostle, Vav. And so you have the Yod, He, Vav, He set out that way. But the way we have them aligned here is according to north, south, east, and west. But this is east. So that's north, that's south, and that's west. So they're aligned slightly differently on here in the room, because we're not actually aligned in the same way as the pattern there. But there are also then the four angels that God has assigned to us as a church in this season, which are winds of change, transformation, refining fire, sounds of many waters, which are also aligned by the other flags there on the corners. Now, I want you to think of it, as you're looking now, you can see, well, it's like flat. And in the middle, you have the full representation of God, seven spirits of God, and you have the flag with the lion, ox, eagle, and the man in one place. Because what we can do is we can look into the presence of God and look into who God is in those representations, and we can step into there and experience being in Him. Because we know we're in Christ in the heavenly places. And being in Him, we can then look out from being in Him. So you can look into the lion. And, you know, many of us have looked into the face of the lion and encountered that face. You can look into the face of the eagle and the ox and the man. And you can begin to engage with something that they represent in terms of God's person and who He is and His character and nature. But you can also step into and then look out from. So you can look out through the eye of the eye of the eagle or the lion, and you can speak out of the mouth of the eagle and the lion and the ox and the man, which means you can speak out what you receive and how you come into alignment with heaven. So this is a dimensional picture, although it's very difficult, obviously, to hold dimensions in a flat plane, but this is dimensional. And everything that we have is dimensional. So you have heaven, let's say up, under the earth, down. You have to and fro, but also in and out of different dimensions. You also have backwards and forwards, past and future. And so that is a sort of a representation of the different dimensions that we can encounter, but that's limited to the fact that we only operate in those three dimensions here. But there are fourth, fifth, sixth other dimensions that you can encounter in heaven. And so when you encounter some of the things here, it will take you into another dimension. Some of the things manifest here for us to experience, and some of the things open up heaven so we can engage in them. So you have the dimension of heaven, where we have the four faces of God. You have superimposed the dimension of the angelic realm here, which is the four angels, and you also have superimposed our dimension. So you have three things superimposed which produce this interesting shape. And when we were meeting in our leadership 12 group a while ago, we stepped into heaven to engage our scroll. and to look at the book which God has given us for our destiny and the things that we should be doing and that working here on earth. And quite a number of us saw a geometric shape from different perspectives. And we began to, when we sort of came out of that encounter, we sort of started to draw various representations. Mine was not quite as pretty as some other people's, but it was what I was seeing. And some of it, we were seeing a dimensional place of government. And when heaven and earth and the angelic realm begins to overlap and work together, you have government. And they are represented by spheres of governmental authority and different dimensional shapes. And this is something that God is opening up a lot right now around the world for people's engagement in. And we've had engagement within cubes and in different dimensional shapes. So this is how things are lined up here on the floor. The lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man, representing north, south, east, west, and the eagle, the apostolic. So the lion represents the kingly, the ox, the prophetic, the eagle, the apostolic, and the man, the priestly functions of God in representing through he wants in man. And then you have the four angels, winds of chains, transformation, refining fire, and sand of many waters. So those four living creatures are represented by the living creatures around the throne. And we see that in Revelation where you see God's throne and you see the four living creatures, you see the different elders, you see the myriads of angels, you see a whole picture there with the seven spirits of God as the lamps of God. And that is a representation of heaven. Now, here we have a connection between heaven and earth when we come to worship. And so when we begin to engage with Yod Heh Vav Heh, and we begin to sing that, and we begin to speak it out, then we're connecting between heaven and earth, and an ark forms, which produces a manifestation. And, you know, we've been looking at how we can see into the realm of the Spirit, how we can engage in the realm of the Spirit, how we can engage in heavenly realms. And when we learn to do that, you can begin to see the superimposed nature of heaven on earth, because you can see what the angels are doing. You can see what's going on around the ark of God's presence. We can look into those. We could step into them. So they are aligned, and they're all representing aspects of God's government. And as I said, kingly, prophetic, apostolic, priestly. And you know, my colors don't quite match up with what are on the flags, but they're a representation of them. So we have different colors representing those four faces, and you can engage with those four faces. Now, each of those four faces form an arc between themselves. That's what produces blueprints and different things. They come into agreement with God's purpose and release those purposes. And they open windows for our engagement. So the four angels are in the spiritual realm. The four faces are in the heavenly realm. And we need to see them interact so we can engage with both of them here. And form agreement. And when we form agreement between heaven and earth, then there is a manifestation of the kingdom that takes place. So then you have the four flags, which are sort of two-colored when you wave them, which represent those four angels. Joe has sort of developed those flags and developed those colors as she's been given revelation by God. And they are places where you can engage with those angels themselves. Now, John 1:51 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That's what Jesus said to his disciples, that there was an open heaven over his life. He also said in John 3:13 to Nicodemus, in the Amplified, it says this, "No one has ever gone up to heaven, but there is one who has come down from heaven," talking about himself. Now, we know several people engaged in different realms, because we know Elijah, and we know Enoch, and we know others who went from this realm to that realm, but there are places in heaven that they didn't access. And only the Son of Man, at this point, before he went and took all those people back into the realm of heaven, had accessed that place and had come here. And this is what Jesus said. Basically, the Son of Man has come down from heaven himself, who is, present tense, dwells, has his home in heaven. So Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, if you understand the nature of the kingdom, if you understand the nature of being born again, if you understand the nature of it being like the wind, which is a vibrational movement, then you'll begin to understand how I can be in heaven and on earth talking to you at the same time. And that's how Jesus was able to do everything he was able to do, because he saw what the Father was doing. It says, John 5:19, that he only did what he saw the Father doing. So it's really important, if we want to be able to fulfill the purpose of God for our life and outwork the destiny that God has for us, that we know how to engage heaven and earth at the same time. Because our physical body can be here, and our spirit and soul can be there, and therefore we can be connected. And that's sometimes what happens when you engage some of these portals that open. You get taken to a different place. And people here in worship have been, their spirit has been translated to a different place, and they've ministered to people in different places around the world, spatially, because they've allowed their spirit to engage with heaven and then be sent to a place to minister. And all these things are possible. They're all biblical. You can see them in people being trans-relocated, like Philip, Ezekiel being taken out of his body and taken to Jerusalem to see other things. You know, they sound quite weird, but actually you can find out everything that I'm talking about in the Bible if you look. The problem is, it's only been taught as stories and theoretical things, not something that we can actually do today. And God is opening up our understanding and our experience so that we can actually engage those things and operate in the same dimension that Jesus did, because we now are a co-heir of Jesus, of his kingdom, and we've been called to administrate his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Hence, in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we don't know what his will is in heaven, how are we going to see it on earth? Because it's supposed to come through us. So we looked at last week, we're a gateway of heaven on earth. So Jesus has gone into the veil, torn the veil. Now we can come through him, and he is there as a high priest forever. Not an earthly priest, but a heavenly priest. And he calls us to come into that order of Melchizedek as kings and priests. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Where is the holy place? It's no longer on earth. It's in heaven. So we can have confidence to enter into heaven, into that where the holy place is in heaven, because of the blood of Jesus, what he did on the cross, what his blood has accomplished in washing us clean, giving us a brand new start, reconciling us back to God, restoring us into his original purpose and condition. We can enter into that veil by a new and living way. It's a new and living way, which is now accomplished because of what Jesus did on the cross. He inaugurated that for us. He opened that for us through the veil that is his flesh. So literally, he becomes the doorway, as he says in John 10, that we can go in and out and find pasture. That is actually what that means. We can go in through him as the doorway into heaven and find pasture and come in and out from heaven to administer that. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. And this is really what we're doing when we're engaging this representation of heaven here. We are drawing near to where heaven and earth are overlapping and where the veil is open. And that veil, even though it's torn, can still be closed. But when you pull it back, you're able to see into and engage with that which is there. And literally, when we come together in worship and when we begin to sing Yod Hei Vav Hei, and we begin to open our spirits up, then we can engage within the veil and engage with heaven. So many songs and things over the years have been, God, will you come down? When actually the reality is, he's been saying, will you come up? Because Revelation 4:1 says, there is a door standing open in heaven. It's open. And it then says, come up here. And that invitation is open to each of us to draw near. So the high priest in the earthly tabernacle would sing or chant the names of God. In an earthly tabernacle, the window would open between the arms or the wings of the cherubim and the manifest presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, would manifest. He was only able to go in once a year. And yet now it's open for us to go in whenever we want to. Because that is the grace of God that has been released through what Jesus has done. He has now opened that for us. So when we engage the ark in the realms of heaven, we're engaging his four faces, which are represented by the cherubim, and the faces of the cherubim, lion, ox, eagle, man. So we can draw near and engage with that place, and our engagement connects us with what's going on there. And there's the mercy seat and the covering cherub, four faces of God. Now, as I said earlier, God is complete as three, but he chooses man to complete his government. That's why there are four faces. So there is an arc between heaven and earth. When we raise our hands in worship, what are we doing?
Forming an arc.
Exactly. Well done, Linda. Our praise is to form an arc. Psalm 22:3. You are holy, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. God is enthroned on our praises. Literally, he comes and his throne manifests on our praises, and we can engage it. So we form an arc between heaven and earth. So that's a sort of a picture of the earthly ark. Now, that ark was in heaven before it ever got on earth, because it was a pattern after the tabernacle in heaven. And Lucifer, who was the light bearer, and he had the instruments of heaven, was one of the covering cherubim. I know recently Ian Clayton has been inferring that Melchizedek was one of the others. So there's an interesting connection of what happens, because one left his post. So to form an ark, when you go into the Holy of Holies, we get to replace the cherubim that left his post, which is why we can form an ark when we go there for God's presence. And God is looking for us to engage heaven to form that ark so that we can reform what God's intention was to manifest it on earth. So here on the floor, you have the four faces representing those four faces, lion, ox, eagle, and man. Now, what happens is they connect with each other. So the lion and the ox connect, the ox and eagle connect, the lion and the eagle connect, lion and the man connect, man and the eagle connect, and the man and the ox connect. Now that forms a interesting shape. Now it isn't a one-dimensional shape, as is pictured there. It's a three-dimensional shape. It's a pyramid. And that pyramid shape is the shape that's in the realm of heaven. It's the mountain of God. And it's the shape of the New Jerusalem, which is a square base and a pyramid top. And there are four faces, representing the four faces of God. It represents the order of Melchizedek and the New Jerusalem. There are 12 foundational stones and there are 12 gates. And there's a capstone, which the enemy has tried to counterfeit in the Eye of Horus on the top of that pyramid. Now, pyramids are very interesting structures. The pyramids on Earth, the Pyramid of Giza, they are very interesting if you look into them and what they represent. They're aligned with the compass, which, considering how far long ago they were built, is pretty remarkable, and how they were able to do that. I have been back and in time and actually seen how they did it, because I was really interested to find out. I've been in the Pyramid of Giza 4 or 5 times, actually inside. There are a number of things in there, but the enemy looks to counterfeit. So he looks to place a light or an eye on top of the kingdoms on the earth to rule and govern them. But the capstone of that is Jesus. You know, where it says he is the cornerstone, it actually means capstone. And literally, the capstone is a representation of God that actually draws all things together in that shape. So all these patterns and arcs are forming between heaven and earth, and between the lion, ox, and eagle, and the man, and the four angels, transformation, winds of change, sands, many waters, and refiner's fire. So we have them positioned around the four points of the compass and the four corners of the earth. I'm not going to go into the symbolism of that, but you can look into it yourself. So we want to engage these angels as God is going to minister to us through them. You know, people say, well, why didn't God just come? He does. He comes in the angel of the Lord, and he sends angels who are his messengers to do his bidding. And if you read the book of Acts, it's full of encounters with angels. The question is, if you want to be ministered to by those angels, everything that's about it is about change. So do you want change in your life? What change do you want? Because it would be really helpful when you engage to know what you want to be changed. So think about it. What do I want changed in my life? Is that change that you desire born out of agreement with God's will and purpose and destiny for your life? Because if you want change aligned to your own personal will, then you're not going to get too much engagement with those angels. Because they want you to come into agreement with who God's purpose and plan and your destiny is. That's why they carry that. That's why they have trumpets and they herald a sound and a frequency and a color that brings alignment to your destiny that was agreed before the foundation of the world. So transformation, transformed into the image of Jesus, behavior change, thinking change, transfigured to shine with glory, transformation, so we open our hearts to the revelation of truth that will renew our minds and change our lives. So when you engage them, open up your heart and your spirit to that and allow them to be able to bring that transformation into you. Winds of change. Eminists want new seasons. New seasons of blessing, of joy, of peace. Of the authority and power to be changed and transformed and our circumstances change. Because many of us are ruled and governed by our circumstances when actually we should be in control over our circumstances. Because we have the power and authority as children of God to bring the government of God, which is to bring blessing to our lives. So we can become a living being, a spirit being. The winds of change, engage them by opening up your heart and let the breath of life fill you. Refining fire. How many of us want a greater passion for God? For our lives, for our destiny? Well, when we engage refiner's fire will bring that passion. A pure heart so we can see God. Our life can be purified and refined. The chains which are restricting us can be destroyed. When you engage with refiner's fire, the heat of the fire can destroy the chains which are on our lives. So open your heart to that refiner's fire engagement. Passion, purification, destroying chains. Sound of many waters is a biblical thing for the voice of God, a vibrational frequency of God's voice, which is still vibrating in the whole of creation. Holds all of creation together today. So everything that's not of God's kingdom will be shaking. And as that is shaken, it will be removed from our lives. If we're willing to let the voice of God shake us and shake loose what isn't of him. So we can begin to resonate, come into a harmonious agreement with what God's voice says, his will for us. Our whole body can be aligned with that frequency of heaven, which can bring healing and wholeness and DNA transformation. The sound of many waters. Open your heart and engage with that frequency, that vibration, that wind, which is moving and blowing, so we can resonate with the eternal destiny that is within us. So those are heralding and blowing, and there's a manifestation of God's presence that comes when they're here. So how do they work together? And this is an important thing, because what's happening and what we're seeing is they don't just operate independently. So you can engage each of the four faces, you can engage each of the angels, but they cooperate together. So they form arcs of agreement between each other. And there are eight arcs of agreement that you can have between those who are connected to each other in that pattern. So, what does that look like? Well, when the lion and transformation come together, the different colors and the frequencies come together in agreement, and there is a manifestation of that here. So you can step into it, and I know people have done this, You step into that place. I did this a couple of weeks ago and last week. I step between the two flags into the place where they connect and form an arc, and I began to experience what they wanted to bring. And actually, it opened up a portal for to me to go through that I went through into a dimension of heaven that I'd never been before. So each of them, when they connect, produces this place that you can engage. Sometimes you may just engage and feel something going on that begins to change you, speak to you, engage with you, draws you to something, but also it may open a portal of engagement. So there are lots of engagements there. So let's look at them individually. The lion, the king, and Windsor Chains. I stood there last week and it stretched me. And as I was being stretched, God spoke to me and said, you have the capacity to handle the season that's coming. Which I was not doubting at the time, but was my mind was being stretched as if how could I manage the season which is coming? Because I'm aware of what's coming, for me personally anyway. That forms a connection that you can engage with. So literally, that's the kingly function of the lion that brings God's governmental direction to you, instruction about how you can engage and prepare for new seasons in our lives. There's a portal that opens there that you can engage the throne of grace, which is in Eden, the garden of God, and where you can engage wisdom's heights. Now, you may not be able to engage those things immediately, automatically. In the Engaging God Manual, we're going through on this journey to engage these places, but many of you I know can. So be open for where God might want to take you. So, transformation and the lion come together again to form an arc and a portal. That's the kingly function that brings God's government, the order for our responsibility. See, we have responsibility as sons that we're called to outwork. So he gives us instruction about the process of transformation in our lives. What needs to change? And that portal will open up an engagement with the altar of fire where the seraphim are in the temple in heaven. So you can be unraveled in time and with your DNA. Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, you haven't been there. Those of you who've been there will probably understand it better when you go. I'm just telling you that this is a place that some of you will be able to begin to engage in. The ox, the prophetic, and transformation come together. That prophetic function brings God's word from heaven for alignment with our destiny. That prophetic picture of what we are to become when we behold it. So we can be transformed into the image, the mold that God has prepared for us. God's word is a mold for our lives. Our true identity. That is a portal which opens up an engagement in a pool where you can engage the thoughts of God, which are there in a golden chest with coins. That is a place where you can engage. Now, some of you may have been there. I've been there quite a number of times recently, and it's wonderful to hear God speak his thoughts about you, what he thinks about you. It says in Psalm 139, how vast are the sum of the thoughts he has for you. You've probably heard a lot of thoughts from other people and from the enemy and some from your own mind. Hear the thoughts of God. Refine as fire in the prophetic. The prophetic function that brings God's word from heaven for purification and alignment of our scroll with our scroll. The prophetic declaration of our scroll from the eternal perspective of God. The truth that brings a portal to engage the judgment seat of Christ, the consuming fire of God's presence to burn the wood, hay, and stubble, and to reveal gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, I wouldn't advise you to go there unless you've been to quite a few other places first, but some of you will engage in that judgment seat, and it's an awesome engagement that brings you a new transformational place so that you can go forward in God. So, refiner's fire and the apostle. The apostolic function that brings God's blueprint from heaven for the purification and alignment with our scroll. God has a plan and a blueprint for our lives that we need to come into alignment with, and therefore things will have to change to bring us into that alignment. And for some people, that will be what they're doing. For some people, it may be a job. For some people, it may be a place. But God is calling us to align our lives with that. It's the apostolic overview of our scroll from the eternal perspective of God. And there's a portal that engages the heart of God. Now, you know, I've only been into that place, right back into the heart of God, a few times, but it's an amazing place where you were created and where your home has come from, if you like. And you can just engage God's heart for you and what it's like to connect with his thoughts. And it's very difficult to describe it, so I'm not going to go any further with it, but it's about our sonship and where it's revealed. And then you have the eagle, apostle, sound of many waters. It's again an apostolic function of the frequency of God's voice that enables us to engage deeper and higher with the vision that God has for us on our scroll. I stood there a few weeks ago and went deeper than I've ever been before, because completely unaware of my surroundings here, and was taken into a deeper place with God, and then it took me into a higher place of a dimension I'd never been before, which I can't describe to you. All I can describe it as perfection. So when you engage there, there's a portal that can open that you can engage the waterfall, the sound of many waters, the deep calling to deep. And there's places there where you can engage. Some of you have been into the cave that is beyond that waterfall. And this may sound really weird to a lot of people who have not followed this through, but these are places that you can engage in heaven. There are places I've been, the places that many people here have been, and other people, where you can engage in heaven, and you can engage with those places which bring us into an alignment with that. And then you have the priestly function and the sound of many waters. The priestly function is really where the frequency of God's voice calls us deeper and deeper into intimacy. And as a portal that engages the river of life, where you can feel the energy of God and the life of God, the source of life, and where we get baptized deeper into that river, and we can engage with the tree of life and the fruit of the tree. And those are, again, places we've been and practiced going, some of us, but you can actually eat from the tree, the fruit on the tree of life, because it's a place where it's open for us to go and engage. But also the wind of change and the priestly function of the man engage, and that brings us into a vibration or a connection with creation. And so that we're part of the symphony of heaven. Heaven's symphony is just such an amazing sound, frequency, geometric pattern. Everything comes together in this amazing thing. All your senses engage, and all the ones that you've yet to discover engage in that place. And you can experience the sound and the light and the fragrance of the oneness, as that enables you to engage your redemptive gifts, your ministry, your calling to creation. Because God has called us to answer the groan of creation, to bring creation back into order as his sons. And, you know, I'm not expecting you to understand all this today. There are some sheets that you can take away if you want to and look at. But I'm just saying, this is what is possible to encounter and engage with. And so here we have all this pattern. See it as a dimensional thing, not just a flat pattern, that you can step in and out of dimensions and experience heaven manifesting here on earth, and you can go into the realms of heaven. So, transformation and the lion, kingly, to bring revelation of your kingly identity and the process needed to bring you into the maturity as sons. Transformation and refiner's fire. Engage with the ox, and they deal with past, present, and future in regards to the truth of God's prophetic declaration of who you are, your identity. Refiner's fire and the eagle, your destiny and where you fit into the blueprint of God's governmental spheres, where you'll engage your seven mountains, where you'll begin to understand your authority as children of God. Eagle and the sound of many waters, where those higher frequencies of your destiny, you will resonate, come into the patterns and alignments with God's deepest and highest thoughts about you. And then the man, priestly, sound of many waters, is about engaging your sound with creation's groan, your identification with the world and your connection to it, your earthly and heavenly ministries, callings, redemptive gifts, your unique sounds, frequencies, fragrance, and colors, because you're all unique, individually created by God with a destiny which was agreed before the foundation of the world with your spirit. We just need to catch up and come into agreement and align so our soul and body can align with this. The winds of change in the man is where you engage with the seasons of your life and the process of maturity that needs to take place. So we learn to serve God, be stewards, friendship, lordship, kingship, sonship, and in that priestly calling of being reconciliation and restoration, we have that ministry given to us. So that revelation of our eternal destiny needs earthing out. We're not called just to be engaged in heaven without there being an outworking of that on earth. And some of you will feel drawn, and the desires of your heart will draw you to connect with creation in different ways. You know, some of your desires will connect with people groups, with nations, with culture, with different spheres of government, because God's drawing you towards that. You can connect with your own and the church mountains as you engage with that in a practical way. Every one of us here has been called for a time such as this. It's an important time in history. Next year will be a change and a shift in the kingdom, a major change and shift in the kingdom. So we really need to get ready. And that's why God is giving us access to these angels and to the four faces of God to get ready, to be prepared, to be transformed, to be changed. So open your hearts to those angels. So we've gone through the different meanings and purposes there. Open your hearts to engage the lion, ox, and the eagle, and the man. Now, let me say this. These engagements do not have to be limited to being here on a Sunday morning. They don't have to be limited to when you see the flags and when you see the pictures and everything like that. Because you can step into the realms of heaven and you can engage in those realms when you need to engage in your daily times with God, in your meditations with God. So you can engage your own imagination. You can meditate on these connections. Use the diagrams if you want. Use the colors. Use the pictures that you have, but step into them where you are, because once a week isn't going to be enough. We have to engage with God on a daily basis. We have to engage with heaven on a daily basis. We need to step into heaven and ask God to step into us on a daily basis. That's what we've been learning to do as we've engaged in the pathway of relationship and responsibility. So I'm going to finish by just, we're not going to do an activation exercise today as such. We're going to engage when we worship God together. And I encourage you to see where your spirit draws you, whether you want to engage with one of the particular flags, when you want to engage in the space between the flags where they connect and join and form agreement. Because what happens is where two agree, something manifests. When you step into that, you form government. You allow the government of God to outwork in you. So you give permission for God to do what he wants to do when you stand in that place. Your cognitive senses may not understand everything that goes on. Don't worry about that. Don't try to analyze it. Don't try and figure it out. Allow your spirit to connect with it. And your spirit will then bring your soul into alignment as your spirit, soul, and body come back into peace, wholeness, and oneness with God. So allow your spirit to connect. You may get pictures, you may get words, you may get thoughts, and all the things that we've been learning to do in engaging God and listening to his voice and seeing what he's doing. But just allow your spirit to resonate, to come into agreement with what goes on there. And if it's like you stand there and you think, well, nothing's happening, then by faith, just receive into your spirit what God will do. God always responds to faith. Not all of us have developed all the senses and abilities yet to engage in everything we like to, but God always responds in faith. So in faith, when we say, I am going to engage with the angel of this or the face of that, then by faith engage and allow God to respond and bring the fulfillment of that. So I'm just going to finish by making some declarations. I engaged with one of the chief angels of one of the orders of angels, Metatron, and you'll find that some of these geometric shapes are assigned to something called Metatron's cube and these things. And last year I engaged with Metatron and he gave me a golden key to open up realms and portals, which is when I'm doing hangouts with people online and we do activations, portals open and people engage things. So I'm going to make some declarations. I decree the door standing in heaven is open. I decree the veil between the spiritual and the natural dimensions is torn. I decree the overlap of heaven and earth and the angelic realm is here. I decree the agreement and the arcs to reveal the government of God here today. I decree the formation of the transformational agreements between those angels, between heaven and earth and the angelic realm. I decree an opening of portals into the dimensions of the heavenly realms. I decree transdimensional and dimensional places of destiny and transformation to be open. I decree the agreement between heaven, the spiritual realm, and the natural realm. Now, I want to encourage you, just open your spirit to engage today. And in the future, as this will develop more and more, we'll look at the seven spirits of God and their training for our position of government and how they work next week. I've taken these sort of two sessions out of what I've been doing because I think it's really important that you understand, or try and understand. You know, don't think, oh man, I'm never going to understand this. But you will, because it's better felt than telt, as they say in Yorkshire. Because you can experience it better than I can explain it, but it does help to have an understanding of what the different things do and what they might engage you with when you step in. Because you're all unique, so your personal experiences of these things will be unique. Where God takes you may be different from where he takes me, but just be open for those things when you engage them today.